From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, July 14th, 2025. A federal appeals court has agreed that Maine's voter-approved law dealing with foreign spending on elections is unconstitutional. Kevin Miller has more.
86% of voters supported a referendum on the November 2023 ballot that sought to ban foreign governments from spending to influence candidate elections or referendums in Maine. The law was a response to the tens of millions of dollars that Central Maine Power and Hydro-Québec spent to try to defeat a referendum to block a controversial power line project through western Maine. CMP, Hydro-Québec, and Versant Power challenged the law on constitutional grounds. And in early 2024, a U.S. District Court judge blocked the state from enforcing the law. Two judges with the First Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with that decision on Friday. In separate but concurring opinions, the justices found that the law was overly broad. They also said it would likely violate the campaign activity and, therefore, the free speech rights of U.S. corporations that have foreign shareholders. The case now goes back to district court for further consideration. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
A group of Hyde School alumni say they were subjected to systemic and severe abuse while attending the private boarding school in Bath. As Ari Snyder reports, the former students are making their claims in a class action lawsuit.
The suit, first reported by the Portland Press-Herald, alleges the school has operated as a, quote, authoritarian system that encourages students to surveil and report on each other and uses forced labor and food deprivation as punishment. The lawsuit's only named plaintiff, Jessica Fuller, attended Hyde from 2014 to 2015. Fuller alleges she was physically restrained with excessive force, compelled to exercise until she collapsed, and subjected to emotional abuse. Fuller's attorneys are seeking class action status on behalf of who they say are more than 100 former students who have experienced similar abuse. In a written statement, Board of Governors Chair Dana McCavity says Hyde, quote, vehemently denies the claims in the lawsuit, calling them either gross mischaracterizations of the school's policies or patently false. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
The driver in an alleged fatal hit-and-run in Albion is being held on $100,000 cash bail. Maine State Police say 44-year-old Benjamin Lancaster struck three pedestrians Friday, killing one child and seriously injuring a second child and an adult. Lancaster has been charged with operating under the influence and leaving the scene of an accident, causing death and serious bodily injury. State police are seeking video footage or surveillance that may help with the investigation. Maine saw a slight dip in the number of people experiencing homelessness earlier this year, according to the latest annual point-in-time survey from Maine Housing. Conducted on a single night in January, the survey found just over 2,400 people experiencing homelessness across the state. That's about a 10% decrease over the previous year.
There's a lot more to the story and a lot more happening and a lot more individuals that are not necessarily counted on this particular day in our state of Maine that are homeless.
Dean Klein is the director of Maine's Continuum of Care, who says the survey likely doesn't account for people who are not connected to social services or have other informal housing solutions. He says communities across the state have added more warming and overnight shelter capacity, and he noted a 25% decrease in the number of children experiencing homelessness. L.L. Bean has announced that Stephen Smith will leave the company early next year after 10 years as president and CEO. In a release issued today, the Freeport-based retailer credits Smith with modernizing operations and helping the company navigate the pandemic, during which it achieved record profits. According to the statement, the company's board of directors has initiated a search for Smith's successor. L.L. Bean operates 65 stores in 19 states across the U.S. The UMaine System Board of Trustees has approved a pilot to accelerate degree programs for older students. While 120 credits are required to earn a traditional degree, adult learners may now earn certain bachelor's degrees with 90 credits. System spokesperson Samantha Warren says the program is intended to meet urgent workforce needs across the state. And Megan Walsh, the dean of the University of Maine at Machias, says her university will pilot a college studies program that allows students to tailor their degrees to their current careers.
So for students bringing in considerable transfer credits or who are already in the workforce, which is so far all of them in the 120 credit program, they will build a project, a self-directed project with a faculty advisor that speaks to the work that they're already doing.
The board is requiring pilot participants to have some prior college credit and be out of school for at least 2 years. Camp safety has been thrust into the national spotlight after devastating flash floods killed more than 100 people in Texas on July 4th, including dozens of campers. Carol Bousquet spoke with an accrediting agency about the standards that Maine camps are required to meet.
The American Camp Association recognizes more than 20,000 camps across the country. To earn accreditation, camps are evaluated on 266 standards, 51 of them mandatory. They include developing emergency plans and communications protocols. Henry DeHart is ACA's president. He says camps should do an annual risk assessment and prepare policies and practices to mitigate those risks.
And then the standard around emergency planning isn't just that you have an emergency plan, but that you staff train. You train your staff around the emergency plan and the actions that might be needed, and you rehearse.
DeHart says camps develop emergency plans for natural disasters, fires, intruders, and active shooters. And he says the state of Maine, which licenses camps, has good regulations that protect campers' safety and health. In the aftermath of Texas flooding, DeHart says parents are now worried about their kids' safety at camps, and he suggests that camp operators reach out to parents to answer their questions about emergency preparedness. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Maine's geology and history. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.